Well, say good morning to each one of you. Look in Acts, the 4th chapter, if you got your Bible. Acts chapter 4, we're going to begin reading here in the 5th verse. Hope you're having a great day in the Lord. Looking forward to a great day of worship. I hope you're looking forward to what Christ is going to do in hearts and lives today. And I pray that begins with you. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh touch on a daily basis. I need God to come by and blow upon me. I need a fresh visitation. You know, that's what life is. Life is, God created us to communicate with Him and fellowship with Him. And this is why we see it in the garden experience when God came calling for Adam. And He said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And he said, "I was naked and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you? Who told you there was a problem in your life, Adam? Who told you you were naked? Who told you that you had sin in your life?" And see, this is what communication with God does. God speaks to us and speaks through us, and He does that through His Word. That's why we need His Word daily. And we need to praise Him daily. The psalmist said it in 119th Psalm 164. He said, 7 times a day will I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. He said, because Your Word is right, I'll praise You. Because the Word of God is so. And so we fellowship with God through prayer and through His Word. And if that's not a constant part of your life, then you're missing out. And so we need that fresh touch and fresh Word every day. And we can have that. We can have a copy of the Scripture. We can have the Word of God. He said, "Preacher, I can't read very well." Well, they got tapes and CDs that read it to you. And so there's all kinds of assets that we have. God has given us His Word. I like that passage over in Psalm 68:11. "The Lord gave the Word, and great was the company of those that published it." And so that's not just publishing it in print form. That's publishing it in audio. That's publishing it locally at the church, the local church. God chose the local church. We're going to read about the local church here. And God chose the people to get the Word out. And that's one-on-one privately. That's you communicating the Word of God to your children, to your parents, to your siblings, to your friends, neighbors, co-workers. And so our whole life should be about publishing the Word. The Lord gave the Word. God gave us the Word free of charge. He didn't sell it to us. "I'm leery of these that sell the Word," aren't you? Now, I'm not talking about libraries and bookstores. I understand they're in the business, and that's what they do. We're not talking about the local Christian bookstore. We're talking about those that have the Word of God with a price. And so you mail me $100, I'll mail you this Bible. I'm leery about that kind of stuff, and for good reason. The Lord gave the Word. Jesus said this, Matthew 10:7-8. He said, "As you go preach," saying, He's talking to the 12. Remember when He called the 12, the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew? He called the 12 and said, "As you go preach," saying, what are we going to say, Lord? "As you go preach," saying, "the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. And as you freely received, freely give." See, that's the job of the church, is to freely give the Word of God away. And so what do? We spend. Paul said, "I will gladly spend and be spent." And so that ought to be the attitude of every believer. And so your mission and call of life is to freely give the Word of God away. To give it away. Well, that's what God did. That's what Psalm 68:11 said. "The Lord gave the Word, and great was the company of those that published it." You say, "Well, preacher, I want to be grateful to God. Publish His Word. Get His Word out." You know, we see this in the writings of the gospel. When Jesus did great things, what happened? The people went out and published it abroad. And what that meant was they made it public. They made it known. And so they told what Jesus did. It's all God's called you to do, is to share what Christ has done for you. Matter of fact, we see it. We see it in the writings of the Lord when He plainly told them to go home. Matthew 14:14. Remember this place, such a precious place. When He said, "Go home." Remember the demoniac that Jesus saved right there in the tombs? He said, "Go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord has done for thee and how he's had compassion on you. Well, that's what the apostles are doing. The apostles are doing that in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, where we began reading with the word said right here, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, verse 5, and elders and scribes, when the fifth verse, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, they were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name, have you done this? Now, what did they do? Let's establish number one. What did the apostles do? They were called before the committee. You ever been called before the committee? And so people, they say, well, we're going to bring them before the committee and question them. Well, that's what they're doing. They're being questioned by the Sanhedrin council. And here, they said this. By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to come back to that, but I want you to see what they've been called by the committee for. You know, if you're going to call us before the committee, then let's find out why we were called. And here we find in the early part, the first few verses of Acts 4, that they, as the man was healed that was lame, he was lame, the word said, from birth. And as they were in the presence of God, the presence of the people, and God healed the man, we know that thousands were saved because of that. And so watch this. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. It was over late in the evening, so they locked them up, put them in the hoose cow until tomorrow. We're going to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And we don't know how many women and children believe, but we know that the number of the men, what the word said, all we can do is talk about what the word said. And the word said the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, we already read what Peter's first message, you know, there were 3,000 saved. And in the second message, at least 5,000 saved, probably a lot more than that. And the word said, here it is, it came to pass on the morrow. Now, this is about all of this funny business that this council could stand. They couldn't stand no more of this. This was the same people that had just condemned Christ to death. They had condemned him to a cross. They had condemned him to a scourging at Pilate's judgment hall. They had condemned him to a cruel cross on Calvary, where he died the most agonizing, the rudest, hardest death one could die. No mercy. You know, with history records that Paul went to Nero's guillotine. Well, there was some mercy in the guillotine. And here we find it that John the Baptist was beheaded and his head was put in a charger. There's mercy in that. That is, you say, well, preacher, I don't want to be beheaded. I don't either, but at least it is a quick death. The cross, the cruel cross, is one of the most agonizing, cruelest, painstaking deaths one could die. The slow, agonizing death. And these are the people that put Christ upon a cruel cross and condemned him to die and wouldn't have it no other way. And here, Peter has preached this when Pilate plainly determined to let him go. Pilate was wanting to let him go, but the Sanhedrins wouldn't let him go. And here they are concerned that sinners are being saved. Don't this show you something about religion? I'm going to tell you, religion stinks to the high heaven. Religion. The worst thing can happen to you is get religious. People said, preacher, I got religion. Worst thing can happen to you. Get saved. That's the only thing that matters. Be saved. Be saved today. Ask God to save you. Not get religion. Now, we know pure religion. James talks about pure religion, and he discusses over in James 1, 26, 27, what pure religion is. It's undefiled before God and the Father this, and so it's undefiled. We're not confusing. We're not confusing the fact that God calls men to holiness and an undefiled religion. We're talking about man's religion. Man's religion stinks. Man's religion's rotten. Man's religion will make you like this Sanhedrin council that wants nothing to do with Christ. Have you ever noticed this? That some of the most powerful religions in the world today want absolutely nothing to do with Christ. They fight Christ tooth and nail. They fight Christ with every breath that they breathe. They hate Christ. They're Christ haters. And so what happens? Religion will ruin and destroy you. That's the worst thing can happen to you. It has to be so. You must be saved. And Peter's going to deal with this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8, he said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," not the Jews' religion, do you get it? Not the Roman religion, not the Jews' religion, not anybody's religion, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Very important that you see that. "Preacher, I don't know how to be saved. The only way a man can be saved is by the name of Jesus Christ. The only way a woman, boy, or girl can be born again is by the name of Jesus Christ." Jesus said it in John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he said it again in John 6:44. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." So if God don't draw you, you can't come. And if you don't come to Christ, you can't be saved. And this is what Peter's preaching. Oh, this ain't the same Peter. This is not the same Peter that's running from the young damsel. This is not the same Peter that's denying him at warming by the fire. This is not the same Peter that went out and wept bitterly because he had sinned against the Lord and denied the Lord 3 times in the same night. This is not the same Peter that's weeping and crying in his milk. Not the same one. Not the same one that's running in fear. But this is he, filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you see it? We have to have a fresh filling of the Spirit of God daily. I'm going to tell you, it's nothing to replace what the Spirit of God will do. When we go in Jesus' name and we go in the Spirit of God. And so if we're led by the Spirit, Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of God, if any man have not the Spirit, what is it? He's none of his. And so if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. And we see it here. He's filled. I'm telling you, it's not just a little dab, brother. Oh no, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. I like that. That excites me. You know why? Because believers, you said, "Preacher, I've got things in my life." Peter had some things in his past too. Peter had some things he had to look back to and put those things behind him. Paul said, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." It's not in the Jews' religion. Paul said it's not there. No, Paul was very affectionate toward the Jews' religion until Christ saved him. And he said it's not in the Jews' religion, but it's in Christ Jesus, the high calling of God, which is in Christ. And what's Peter preaching? He's preaching Christ. And what's the only message to be preached today? It's Christ and Him alone. Filled with the Holy Ghost, the Word said, he said, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, be it known unto you that at the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified," verse 10, "whom God," watch this now, "whom God hath raised from the dead," God's raised him, "even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now Jesus talked like that. Jesus said something about that in Luke 21:44. Remember the place? Pardon me, Matthew 21:44, when he said, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken," talking about himself, the chief cornerstone. But I'm going to tell you, Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's what Peter's preaching. He said God's took him and he's made him head of the corner. Oh, you crucified him. You put him on a cross. You tried to destroy him. But God, what God do? God took him and made him head of the corner. And Jesus preached it and said this in 21:44 of the book of Matthew. He said that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. You know what that means? That means when a sinner falls upon the Lord Jesus Christ with a cry of mercy, with a plea for help, with a plea for forgiveness, with a plea to be saved, you know what he finds? He finds mercy. God breaks him, breaks his rebellious will. God breaks his old stubborn heart. God breaks his rebellious mind. And God makes him, and he's broken, and he's formed to the will of God, and he's saved by the grace of God. And here Christ, the head of the corner. But I'm going to tell you, there's another part of that verse. But Jesus said, on whomsoever this stone shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And so what's that mean? Christ, the chief cornerstone. Either we fall upon him and we're broken and saved, or else he falls upon us and he grinds us to powder. What's that mean? That means that every man's destiny is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every man will be saved by Christ, or he'll be destroyed by Christ. Now this is no way to dress this up and make it any prettier than it is. And Peter said he's made him to be head of the corner. I'm glad Christ saves. I'm glad Christ receives. I'm glad Christ allowed me to fall upon him and to be broken. I don't want to be ground to powder. I don't want to be destroyed by the ruler of this world. Now Revelation 19:11 deals with this in the white horse rider of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word said he's coming again. And you know how he's coming back? He's coming back on a white horse with a two-edged sword in his mouth, ruling with a rod of iron. And Christ will be the sovereign ruler. And I'm going to tell you, he stood subject to the ruling of this Sanhedrin council. But one day, this Sanhedrin council is going to stand before him that rules with a rod of iron. When what happens when the dead, small and great, stand before God? When the sea and hell give up the dead which were in them. We're talking about Revelation 20. And the 15th verse said something about this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What's that mean? Brother, this council, outside of the fact that they were saved at a later date by the marvelous grace of God, Peter said, you took him and you crucified him, but God raised him. You put him to death, but God brought him to life. Hallelujah. And he said, it's he that God has made the chief cornerstone, and he's become the head of the corner. He said, God's turned the table, men. The table's been turned. And so you know what's going to happen? The believer today feels like the odd man out sometimes in this world. But you know what Christ is going to do? He's going to flip the table, brother. He's going to flip the table. And listen, the believer is going to be ruling the world with Christ. That's right. But as we find it, we talk about those things that deal with the millennial reign. I'm going to tell you, those that believe, those that dwell with Christ in the millennial reign are going to be the ones that rule this earth for 1,000 years with Christ, Christ on his throne. I'm going to tell you, God's people are going to be highly sought after. God's people are going to be blessed, at even to the point that the whole world sees us in the glory of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be esteemed. I'm going to tell you, God's going to take the believer. The believer today feels like he's in a foreign land, and he is. But wait wait till Christ rules. And Peter said something's going to happen. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven. That, how many names are there? None. How many other ways to be saved, preacher? None. How many other ways can I get to heaven? Can I join the lodge and get to heaven? No. Can I do something good in the community? Can I become a Mother Teresa and get to heaven? No. There's none other name. There's no other way. Listen, there's nothing works can do. Works will not save you. Works cannot save you. And so here, there's none other name. I like this, brother. One of my favorite passages of the Word of God. I hope you circle it. Put some dittos, some asterisks, underline it. Do something to mark it. It's a precious verse. Let God hide it in your heart. Use it in your personal evangelism. When you witness to your people at work, the people you love, the people where you attend, the people where you go, to public places or whatever, however God uses you, take this verse and help somebody understand. Don't beat them over the head with it. Love on them. Help them understand it. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved at the name of Jesus Christ. No other name. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and James and perceived, Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. You know what they said? These boys here, we know them. They ain't been that long ago, got off the boat. And all they ever done was fished all their life. And old roughnecks. And you know, look at them. They ain't well groomed and they ain't too polished. And the speech ain't much. As a matter of fact, that's how they knew Peter. They said that his speech bereath him, which means his speech is giving him away. His speech is letting us know he's one of them Galileans. That's where Jesus come from. And so we know he's one of his the way he talks. Sometimes people say we talk funny, right? And they say, hey, you know, so-and-so talks funny. And all of these things. I'm going to tell you, sir, it's not about being polished. And there's nothing wrong with being polished. It's not about being articulate. Nothing wrong with that. But it is about knowing the Savior. And it is about being saved. And here they said, we know them. They're unlearned. They never been to college. Never been to a higher institution. Nothing wrong with those things. But it can't save you. But they knew these men by the way they acted. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what it tells me about these men? Oh no, they didn't come up in the high society club. But bless God, they met one that was able to save them. They met one that was able to change them. They fellowshiped with him that were able to make them the greatest preachers this universe has ever known. They spent time with him. There's something about this. We're going to see it right here in the next part of the verse. The word said that they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. They were shaking their head and scratching the old noggin about this. We don't quite understand. But they took knowledge. The word said, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh boy, that's a blessing right there. When people can be around you and they can't say much good about you, and they might say, well, you know, we know him and know all his folks, and not too impressed there, but thank God they'd been with Christ. And they took note they'd been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you something about staying with Jesus. When we stay in His Word, and we stay in prayer, and we fellowship with Him, and spend time with Him, you know what'll happen? As we spend more time in His Word, we'll begin to talk about His Word, and we'll begin to talk like His Word, and we'll begin to say things His Word says. You know why? You know, when children pick up bad things they shouldn't be saying, you know where they picked that up? They didn't come up with that on their own. They heard it somewhere. And so, you know, if little Ricky's cussing in kindergarten, there's probably a reason. It's because little Ricky, that's all he's ever heard. And so we find it. And then if Susie's saying things, doing things she don't need to be doing, it's probably because that's what she's been taught. And so here, they took note. Bless God, they said, we don't understand it. They unlearned. They ignorant men. And you know, they act like they down from the woods somewhere. And all they ever done was, you know, was catch old stinky fish and try to make a living, carve them out a living. But we know one thing, they have been with Christ. What a testimony. Listen, it's not important what people say about us. What's important is, can they tell? Can they tell by our conversation? Can they tell by the way we live? Can they tell that we've been with Christ? We do not need, Christ does not need, the church does not need undercover agents. You said, preacher, I'm a secret disciple like Joseph of Arimathea. We don't need those. Thank God for Joseph. But we don't need secret disciples in God's army. We don't need secret ambassadors. We need ambassadors that are on the front lines for Him, getting the Word of God out for Him, being an example, being a witness, being a specimen of love and grace and mercy in the workplace. Not an old hard heart or a hard head. We need some that's full of love and compassion, caring for those, showing those the way, living the way, speaking the way, being the way, and hear Jesus. The Word said they'd been with Jesus, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them. Now, we done forgot about him. We done forgot the fact that they drug him in there too. This was a fella ain't been walking long. And, you know, those legs hadn't been working like they, you know, other folks' legs work. And so, bless God, he's standing up. Remember them legs that they healed? Remember what he done in the third chapter? The Word said that he was walking in the temple, leaping and praising God. And so they know this man. They hadn't forgot him. When God raised him by the hands of Peter and John, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That same man is before this Sanhedrin, and he's standing on them same legs God healed. He said, preacher, that was just they had a little doodad, and what happened? They got goose pimply, and somebody was propping that man up. He's still standing on them same two legs God healed. I'm going to tell you, there's a message right there. But I'm going to tell you, when God does it, it'll stand. And when God does it for you, you can stand. And Paul preached like this in Ephesians 6. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins gird about with truth. And so when we take the truth of God, God will gird our loins with truth. And you can stand, having done all to stand, stand. That's what the man's doing. He's standing there with them. He's standing with him. You ought to underline that. And they could say nothing against it. Well, how are you going to say anything against it? He's standing. If this is a message here, church, I hope you see it. Saved person, saved man, woman, boy, or girl, I pray to God you see this. If you'll stand up for Christ, the world will see it. If you'll stand up, the people, if you'll just represent Him, you don't have to be the big mouth a lot of us are. You don't have to preach gospel. You don't have to do all these things publicly. But if you'll stand for Christ, them grand young'uns will see it. Oh, thank God them neighbors will see it. And they say, well, you know, we don't quite understand all things, but we know that He loved Christ. He stood for Him. He stood for Him in the ballot box. He stood for Him in the public square. He stood for Him at the house. He stood for Him down at the church. He stood for Christ. Whatever came up, He stood for Christ. What a blessing. And the Word said they couldn't say anything against it. You know what will happen? It'll shut the mouth of the gainsayer. Listen, Jesus plainly told what these disciples are doing right now. He told them what to do. He told them what to do in Luke 21:15. And He said, when you call before the elders, when you call before these, the magistrates, He told His disciples, don't meditate in your heart what you're going to say. He said, the Holy Ghost give you, in that same hour He'll give you what ye shall say. And He'll give you something that the adversary cannot gainsay nor resist. And here's what the Word said. When they commanded them to go out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do? They done sent them outside. That fellow God healed, he's still using them two legs. What a blessing. I will tell you, church, whatever God does, He does it for good. He does it for your good, and He does it for good. And so here, he's walking out on them legs God fixed. Woo! What a thrill. God can fix it. I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong today, but I know God can fix it. I know God that created these bodies can heal these bodies. God created these minds. He can heal these minds. And whatever it is you need today, if you'll put it on the altar before God and put you on the altar before God, God can fix it. And here the word said they went out and they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these men? For that indeed, verse 16, I'm reading, a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We can't deny it. There's nothing we can do. We're up against a stump. We run up on something we can't do anything with. I like that. I like that because it tells me something today from God's Word. If we will represent Christ, if we will go in Jesus' name, if we will love Him above all others, if we will do that He leads us to do, walk in the power God's endued us to walk upon. You said, preacher, I have no power to walk like that. Yes, you do. All power is given to us. All power. Jesus made this very clear. Brother, He gave us power. He gave us strength. And He told us to go. And He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so what happens? You said, well, these men all died martyrs' death. Most of them died martyrs' death. Well, that's okay. What is death? Death is but a fleeting moment. And so when we go in the power of His name, they said, we cannot deny it, but that it is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. Well, threatening them's not going to stop them. Listen, these things that people do, nothing, none of these things, as Jesus dealt with it, I'm going to give you this last passage and talk about it in just a moment, but it's very clear in the Word of God, where He made it so plain that what can man do? What can man do? He said, fear not them which are able to kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him. Who's He talking about? God. Fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Fear Him. We're to fear Him. And I tell you, if we'll fear Him and love Him today, He will empower us and strengthen us. Father, would You do it right now? God, would You touch us? Would You strengthen us, Lord? God, would You cause us to go in the power of Your name and the power of Your Word? God, I pray You would encourage a believer today that's cast down. And the devil's told them they can't. But God, You said we can. We can go in the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would You do it today, right now, by Your Word? God, would You speak to that one that's discouraged and disheartened? Oh, God, would You strengthen us? In Jesus' name we ask it. For the glory of God, we pray it. In His name, until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.